Amen. Thank you so much, Erica, for that good special number this morning. We appreciate that. Take your Bible with me now. We did have our scripture reading in Philippians, but I would like you to go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 6. We're going to be looking at some things there in just a moment. I do want to mention, this is a great crowd. This is a tremendous great crowd, and I was asking Pastor Wall a moment ago if we've exceeded 80% yet in this auditorium. He does not think so. We're doing a count on that. You have to keep ahead of 80% capacity, but here's the thing. There are going to be a couple more rows added here to the front. We're working with people already on that, and another row back in the back there, that big wide aisle that runs back and forth back there, that will have another row. So 150 seats will be added for those of you who like to socially distance, or you just don't like people. So we'll do something. We'll do something to give you a little bit of extra space. That'll come in the near future. Please be patient with us on this. All right, I want to do a little review. We had our excellent revival meetings with Evangelist Scott Pauley. Ushers, make your way down while I'm chit-chatting with the folks. They have lesson outlines. If you did not get one on your way in, I do want you to have one of these lesson outlines. In the scripture we read a moment ago in Philippians chapter 4, the Bible says we have to do these things and then the God of peace will be with us. Okay, one of the things I've said over and over again, God is not a heavenly Xanax. You cannot simply pray that God will descend upon your life in some kind of mystical peace. There are things that you have to do to stave off depression, that you have to do to stave off anxiety. And so by way of review, because it's been a week since we dealt with this, by way of review, I want us to go back. And by the way, isn't this nice? I now have a laser pointer. This was purchased for me by a staff member. This is a cat paw laser pointer with pink paw prints. Does everybody see that? Yeah, you know, my staff's going to get it later on. But this is what I have, and you mash the little paw prints, but let's see if that... Oh, look, it does work. Okay, so if we could go to the first slide from our first session. The basis of everything that we're talking about is this. It is both a biblical and psychological or medical fact that our emotions are produced by our thoughts. So our thoughts produce our emotions, and our emotions drive our behavior. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23, verse number 7. Now, remember, not all anxiety or depression is originated from bad thought processing, not all of it, but all anxiety and all depression is increased when we do not think biblically. Okay, so you might have had, for example, a great trauma, maybe a physical brain trauma or physical trauma of some sort. We know medically that that can induce depression, but if we think about it the wrong way, it will simply increase that. So a principle is this: we address the idea that you have to deal with your thoughts. Your thoughts will address you, will create your emotions. Your emotions will drive your behavior. So I have to deal with my thoughts. How am I thinking? And the question is this: am I thinking biblically? We talked about from 2 Corinthians that we have to capture our thoughts. We have to bring them in conformity to Christ. We talked about that. We have to be willing to examine how we're thinking. We have to be willing to refuse or set aside any thought that takes God out of the equation. And say, this is so important today, because how can I have peace in this crazy world? Let me tell you, my God is in control. He's 100% in control. He's in control of everything that would happen. So that's how we can have peace. So let's move on to the next slide if we could. That's the basis: thoughts, emotions, behavior. That's the basis. Okay, let's not go through this again. We already did that. That's reframing thoughts. Move on. Do we have another slide? Yes, okay, the paradigms. I wanted to review this really quickly if I could with you. So how do we figure out what we're supposed to think about and what we're not supposed to think about? I've asked you to examine your thoughts, to capture your thoughts, and then to think about them. I need a framework in which I know what I should be thinking and what I should not be thinking. By the way, Philippians 4, 8 and 9, the grand assumption is this, that you are in control of your own thinking. That is a grand assumption. So you can change the picture. Matthew 26, verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? Okay, what is Jesus saying? The answer is no one can. If you're short, you can't think real hard and grow tall. It's just not going to work that way. Okay, the answer is no one. And so what Jesus was saying there is this: don't spend your time thinking about things that are outside of your control. And I broke it down into three areas. The things over which you have no control, don't think about them. Just don't think, well, Pastor Monty, I got up and it was so gloomy. gloomy, and it was so dark, and rainy days and Sundays always get me down. Or is it Mondays? Is it Mondays? Mondays. Well, for me, I'm the preacher. It could be Sundays. Depending on your attitude, okay? Rainy days and Mondays always get me down. Do you know why rainy days and Mondays always get you down? Because you made a deal with yourself that that would be so. There's nothing inherently harmful about rain. It's a good thing, okay? There's nothing inherently harmful about Monday, but somewhere along the line, you made a deal with yourself that if it's not going to be sunny in 75, you made a deal with yourself that you're going to be miserable. How foolish that is, because you have no control over that whatsoever. So stop thinking about things like that. Then look at number two. What should I think about? I should think about, this is what I should think about, things over which I have complete control. Man, spend a lot of your time there, okay? Thinking about your thoughts, putting positive things, by the way, into your mind. Well, Pastor Monty, I watched the TV news and it made me so angry I was ready to spit fire. Okay. Stop watching the TV news. I mean, do you really like to be lied to? Do you enjoy that? Is that something you like? Stop watching it. And look, anything that would upset me like that, I would just cut it right out of my life. It's not important what Savannah Guthrie has to say. It's not important what Lester Holt has to say. None of these people. Just cut it right out of your life, okay? And what do you have complete control over? I have complete control over the things I watch on TV. I have complete control over the books that I read, the articles online that I read. I have complete control over what I read, if I have Facebook or not, and I don't have it, but I have complete control over these things. I have complete control over what I eat. And by the way, that includes Rise and Roll Bakery. Okay, I have complete control over that. I don't have to go there, but I no longer drive on 36. I take side roads around that place because it is the devil. But think about things over which you have complete control, and then, of course, the things over which you have some control, only think about your part. Okay, look, I can't predict how you're going to respond to this message. I can't predict it. I think Pastor Monty's whole series is kind of boring. Okay, you can think that all you want. Guess what? I don't care. Because this is what I'm doing. Now, I'm doing, as long as I am doing the very best in my presentation, to give you scripture and to be engaging so that you're following along. And by the way, do you know that's my responsibility? It's your responsibility to listen, but it's my responsibility to be engaging. It is a sin for a preacher to bore people. I thought I'd get an amen. Come on. It is a sin. Let me say it again. Respond like a black church would. Let me say it again. It is a sin for preachers to bore people. Yeah. That's right, brothers and sisters. That's right. Get with the program. The part over which I have some control is in my presentation. It is in my preparation. It is in the level of work that I've done. I cannot determine, nor do I have any control over your response to the whole message. I don't have any. I wish I did. Someone said, Pastor Monty, that conservative Baptist church, you're brainwashing people. You know, I really wish I could. It would be so much easier if I could just say certain things and cast a hypnotic trance over the entire audience and you would never sin again. Nah, that wouldn't be good. I'd have nothing to do during the week. Your sin is what keeps me in business. But anyway, let's... I haven't gotten an amen off of that. Oh, I don't know where this is going now, but in an attempt to be engaging, I have now derailed the sermon. Okay, so there are things over which I have control. I can control my presentation, I can control my preparation, but I cannot control people's response, so I shouldn't worry about that. Okay, move on to the next slide quickly. That's the control paradigm. What should we think about? Also, the time paradigm. Don't think about the negative past, okay? You can't change it. Stop ruminating about it. Well, Pastor Monty, if only I had. If only all of us had, okay? There's something we could all say about that. If only I hadn't done so-and-so. Every person in this room has regret. There's a very famous person. I won't quote the name of the person, but he's in this room. Every one of you would probably know who he is if I were to quote his name. He's famous in these circles. He made this statement to me one time. He said, Preacher, you ain't lived unless you've had some regrets. How many people can say amen to that? Boy, that wasn't very enthusiastic. Because you thought I was about to make you confess. We're not doing that. Okay, now, don't think about the negative past, because you can't change it. Okay, it's outside of your control. The time paradigm, do not think about the uncertainties of the future. Say, listen, you could get all involved. Well, Pastor Monty, I heard this like in December when everybody got tired of Christmas, that week after Christmas before New Year's. Here's what I was hearing from people there. Pastor Monty, what do you think's going to happen in 2021? And I said, let me check my crystal ball. The truth of the matter is, I have not got a clue, but I do know this. My God is in control. Why should I worry incessantly over the future? Well, what if? Pastor Monty, what if? What if you get the COVID? I already had the COVID. Well, what if you get a variant? Isn't that exciting? Variants. If I do get a variant, I'm not telling anyone. I'm going to stay home, though, Pastor Morris, I promise. I'm going to promise Pastor Morris I'm staying home because he blames me for his case of the COVID, okay? I'm not going to think about the uncertainties of the future. I'm just not going to do it because, you know, it ruins today. It ruins the present moment. What am I going to do? I'm going to focus my thoughts on the present moment. And again, this is all based in Scripture. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, Jesus in Matthew 6:34, take therefore no thought for the morrow or for tomorrow, okay? All of this based in Scripture. Now, move on to the next one because I need to get into our lesson for this morning. This is so important, okay? It's so important. So here's where we have to be. In our lives, we have got to learn. Remember Jesus talking about concern. The Bible says, be careful or filled with care. Be careful for nothing. We have got to discern what things we care about and what things we don't. By the word care, I mean what things we think about over and over again in our mind and what things we do not. We gave you the control paradigm and the time paradigm, both of them founded in Scripture, to give you a guideline. But here's something else. Jesus went into this in great detail in Matthew chapter 6. We're going to look at this in a moment. But let me make a statement. It is crystal clear to me that both our anxiety and depression, and often those things come together as a paired disorder, are caused often by our blurring certain lines. Now, I've given you space in your outline to draw this chart, okay? And as I'm talking, you can draw the chart. Just draw it simply. And this is essentially a kind of a care flow chart, okay? By caring, I mean, what am I thinking about? What dominates my thinking, okay? And in life, you have responsibility. You have responsibility. I have certain things that are my God-given calling and responsibility. One of them is to pastor this church. Involved in that primarily is the preaching of the Word of God, the preaching of the Word of God, the ministering to the saints. Secondarily, there are things such as administration and things like that that I'm not really good at, but those are secondary things. I understand that my responsibility is in church. As a husband, I have a responsibility to my wife. As a father, I have a responsibility to my children. I understand clearly my responsibility. Now, outside of my responsibility, I have concerns, okay? As your pastor, I am concerned for your marriage. Now, look at me, everyone. Your marriage is not my responsibility. I can't force anything, okay? But I'm concerned. I'm concerned for that. Now watch this. My responsibility are things that I accept and I accomplish. Concerns are things that I learn to give to God, doing what I can as a pastor. If you come for marriage counseling, then I will immediately refer you to Pastor Morris. And just kidding. I will counsel you, I will help you, but Pastor Morris is far more successful. He has a higher rate of success than Pastor Monty does, so it would be wise to go to Pastor Morris. But I will be happy to do my responsibility, but I can't force the issue. Okay, so watch. Now, right here, see this line right here? When this line gets blurred, the line between responsibility and concern, that is where anxiety arises, when that line gets blurred. When I was younger, I had what could fairly be described as a messianic complex, okay? As pastor, I became convinced that it was my duty to fix every problem on the planet, and particularly every problem that was in my church. And that a measure of my success would be my ability to solve every problem. That created in me incredible anxiety, because it doesn't work that way. I had to come to the point where I recognized that my responsibility is to be faithful in the ministry of the preaching of the Word of God, is to help people on a personal level as they come and seek that help. My responsibility includes praying for people, but I cannot force change. It is up to an individual to accept change. And when I took upon myself all of the burden of making it work for everyone, that created incredible anxiety. I worried about people, and I spent sleepless nights sometimes thinking about kids or parents or whatever the issue would be. And I had to come to the realization that my responsibility I accept and accomplish, my concerns I give to God. Now here's an issue. Some people like to expand. This would have been me in the past, and still a little bit in the present. I have this habit. Some people will expand their responsibility to take on God's job. It does not work, okay? Look at me, control freaks in the audience. Look at me. I'm not going to look at you, Pastor Monty. You're being controlling. Stop. Control freaks in the audience, look at me. People who highly control other people or who seek to, they are always pushing this boundary. They're trying to expand to their responsibility what is actually God's job, okay? It is my job, as I taught on a Sunday night recently, it's my job to sometimes pray and leave things with the Lord. It would be good to remember that. Now here's another problem, though, that sometimes comes in regard to this chart. Another problem is there are some people that want to shrink their responsibility and leave everything up to God. I've known some people like that. They're not controlling people. They are lazy people. They spiritualize things for which they are responsible. Well, Pastor Monty, I hope God provides for my family. No, I hope you get a job, buddy, and do what God called you to do. Well, you know, Pastor, we've really prayed about this. Okay, stop praying and start working. Okay, listen, if the boat is sinking, I believe you should pray and row to shore. There's nothing wrong with doing both. And there are some people who get the idea that they can shirk their own responsibility, or that somehow God has to step in on areas where they're coming. By the way, this applies to exactly what I've been preaching about the last 3 weeks. My thinking and thought processing that can cause me problems, anxiety and depression, that thought process, look here, everybody, it's my responsibility. Well, God, please change me and zap me. It's not going to happen. Do you know why it's not going to happen? Because God commands us to do something. And God will not do for you what you can do for yourself under the divine power of the Spirit of God. It's time to stop asking God to zap you and then blame God when He does not, and recognize that my emotional state must rest significantly on my shoulders based upon my thought process and responses. And so we have both. Now, what do we want to do? Accept your responsibility. By the way, clearly define that. Clearly define it. And then understand that there are some things that are concerns, and there are some things you ought not think about at all. Look at the word idea under where you've drawn your chart. Look at the word idea. Learn the discipline. Here's the idea of the message this morning. Learn the discipline of indifference to things that don't matter. What is indifference? I don't care. Now remember, some care is good, and the Bible tells us about that which we are to care for. But Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 listed certain things specifically that we are not to care for. In Matthew 6, Jesus said some things don't matter enough to warrant our concern. What are those things? Okay? And I want you to see how closely this parallels what Paul was teaching in the book of Philippians. Matthew chapter 6, verse number 27. Everybody open your Bible. Matthew 6, verse 27. Look at what Jesus said. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall, pardon me, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, or wear for your body, yet for your body what ye shall put on, is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? To take no thought. I think I have the wrong reference there. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? Just change that reference. I read the wrong verse because that's the wrong reference. I apologize. No. No, that's not the wrong reference. Honestly, folks, it's dark up here. It is. It's a little dark up here, and I missed that scripture. I had the right reference. I just wasn't reading the right thing. Look at verse 27. Matthew 6:27. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Okay, what is Jesus saying? The first thing to not think about is uncontrollable things. Learn to focus, and this overlaps a little bit with last time, but learn to focus on actions that you can actually control, okay? Look at example number one. Example, you can't really control the rate of your weight loss. Someone said, Pastor Monty, I'm going to lose 10 pounds in 2 weeks. You have absolutely no control over that. There are all kinds of factors that have to do with that. Rise and Roll Bakery being a significant factor. You have all kinds of factors that have to do with that. Rather than do that, you can control your food choices and exercise. That's what I can control. Again, don't look at outcomes. Look at what I can do. Another example of uncontrollable things. You can't control another person's response in a given situation. You can always control yours. I can. Now look. I don't have to get angry. I don't have to. But I can't control if you get angry or not. Understand, I'm not going to focus on your response. I'm going to focus on me. Because Jesus said, don't focus your mind on uncontrollable things. Some say, Pastor Monty, you know, so-and-so, you preached on something, and so-and-so, they just were livid. Okay. Sorry. I can't help that. Now, if I said something offensive, I'll be glad to apologize. And by the way, sometimes I do say offensive things in jest and humor. Okay, sometimes I do. James chapter 3 says of pastors, in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle his whole body. I'm very far from being a perfect man, so sometimes I say things that are offensive. I will be happy to apologize when I do. But I cannot control an individual's responses. I refuse to focus on it. There was a time in my ministry when I focused on responses and when I tried to read into people's responses. And can I share something with you? It drove me crazy. I don't do that anymore because your response I cannot control. Jesus said not to focus on it. I focus on things that I can control. Always focus on controllable actions, not potential outcomes. Outcomes are not always within our control, okay? Look at point B. Dismiss concerns or thoughts about things beyond your control. And we've kind of covered this, but it's important to understand Jesus taught this. For example, the past, quit obsessing over it. It cannot change. Regret and remorse are a waste of time. Only repentance has value. And if repentance took place in the past, if you confessed your sin in the past, then that sin is over with. Oh, but Pastor Monty, you know, way back in my past, I did this, 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 and this, and this, and I just feel so bad about it. Let me ask you a question. Did you confess it? Well, of course, back then, yes, I confessed my sin. Were you sincerely repenting of that sin? Yes, I sincerely repent of that sin. Do you believe the Bible where it says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness? Do you believe that? Yes, I believe that. Okay, why are you beating yourself up over something that God has forgiven you for? Why are you dredging it up when the Bible says that it is lost in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that our sin is separated as far as the east is from the north? Why do we dredge it back up? Well, because Pastor Monty, I can't forget. I'm not asking you to forget, but I'm suggesting you don't have to think about it constantly. Dismiss things of the past. Dismiss thoughts or concerns about people. You can't change people. You can influence. You can pray. But after you've done your part, leave the rest to God. Many people experience severe anxiety because they seek to control others. Stop it. Christian mom and dad, look at me. You have done your best. Or let me put it this way. You did the best you knew at the time. Well, Pastor Monty, it just didn't turn out. My kids aren't where they ought to be. Number one, your kids are still alive, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. Number one, you don't lose hope in anybody. Did you hear what I just said? You don't lose hope of anybody. But number two, you did the best that you could at the time. Learn to leave it to God. You cannot control or manipulate someone back into relationship with God. Did you hear what I said, Mom and Dad? You cannot control or manipulate someone back into relationship with God. You learn to leave it with Him. I'm dismissing these thoughts. Let me give you a third one. Externals. Examples include the weather, the stock market, the White House. You can't control it. I'm not going to freak out about it. You say, well, Pastor Monty, you know, everything's so different than what it was a year ago. I get that, but I can't change it. Now, what can I do? I can function as a pastor in 2021. How many heard about House Bill, I think it's 5 or something like that, the Equality Act? Has anyone heard about that? The Equality Act? Okay, if that passes the House and the Senate, this church will be targeted. Because this church will not change. The preacher believes that transgenderism is a pile of garbage. Because the Bible says God created them male and female. A simple biological explanation is all that is needed, not how someone feels. This church will never, I'm just going to be very blunt about it. This church will never bow one inch to that dumpster fire. Not doing it. Thank you. I am not installing bathrooms for people who don't know. What a waste of money. Okay, I'm not doing that. Well, you say, but Pastor Monty, the church will be declared a public entity. No, it won't. This is a private corporation. But you know what that's going to mean? In the future, it's going to mean a potential fight, a real fight for the religious freedoms of this nation. And the things that I'm saying them, well, you're just being unkind. I'm not being unkind. I'm saying them with clarity and firmness, so that we understand as a congregation where we're going. But you say, well, Pastor Monty, all of this must keep you awake at night. No, it doesn't. It's outside of my control. We will cross that bridge when we come to it, and I know exactly what we're going to do in the exact stand, because you say, Pastor, how do you know? The game plan's right here. Okay, the game plan is right here. And I know exactly where we're going to head, and I'm not concerned about it. In other words, the external things that I cannot affect, I can't concentrate on those. Even my health. I'll do my best to make healthy choices, okay? Understanding what healthy choices really are. I'll do my best, but I cannot predict that I won't come down with some awful disease by this time next year. I can't predict that, so I'm not going to focus. It is widely outside of my control. So number one, uncontrollable things. Ask yourself the question, do I control this? If the answer is no, then refuse to think about it. Rumination has no power to change what you cannot control. Learn to accept the things you cannot control and then move forward. So those are things we don't control. But Jesus said something else. He said we're not to concentrate on temporary things. Look at verse number 19, if you will, with me, 19. Jesus said this, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. Now look at verses 28, drop down. See, treasures on earth are temporary. Verse number 28, the Bible says, why take ye thought for raiment, that is clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, it's present today, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, it is temporary, shall he not so much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? What is Jesus saying? Don't concentrate heavily your thoughts upon temporary things. Have you ever considered this? Everything in life is temporary. Recognize this, deal with it, things change, get over it. I personally don't like change, but I've had to learn to like change. The older you get, the more you have to accept certain things that you cannot change. Temporary things are not things over which we should get nervous. And by the way, sometimes it's good to practice negative visualizations for a moment. Let's see, Caleb, come up here. Make your way up here, Caleb. Caleb is one of our Indiana Baptist College students. He is also, by the way, by trade, an accomplished welder. He is extremely intelligent. He is very well-read. He has a great personality. He is a real hard worker, and he's single. Just throwing it out there, okay? Just throwing it out there. This guy here is a catch. Okay, this guy here is a catch. Now, I have enjoyed getting to know Caleb. Caleb, you're from Pennsylvania.
Yes, sir.
So he talks with that little Pennsylvania thing. Isn't that cute, that little Pennsylvania thing? It's just kind of funny. Hard to take people from Pennsylvania seriously, but hey, okay, all right. On Sundays, he comes over to get our house. He's actively working in our church. Now, let me say something about Caleb. I really value the time that I've gotten to know Caleb. I value this time. This time will not always be. This sermon that you're watching will not always be. That was a promise. I will stop eventually. But this sermon will not always be, okay? This moment of time will not always be. So what if I learn to value the opportunity I have to be with Caleb by doing something odd? By doing something right out of the book of Job, for example. What if just for a moment, I visualized Caleb as dead? Die. He's also a very good actor. Now, this is a sad circumstance, but for one moment, I visualize him as dead. Now come back. We don't want to linger on this too long. No, that was what we call resurrection, by the way. But that's for Easter. Okay, we'll hold off on that for Easter. Okay, now think with me. If I in my mind, when I'm with Caleb, if I in my mind for a split second visualized him in a casket somewhere, which is where we will all end up, barring the coming of the Lord. If I did that for 1 minute, Pastor Monty, that would be so depressing. Now, if I did that for 1 minute, wouldn't it help me to value the time I have with him now? So mom and dad, you might put away your cell phone when you're with your kids because you're not always going to have them. They're temporary. You might set aside something that is not really that important to spend time with your spouse because you're not always going to have him or her. It's temporary. You say, is this principle biblical? Yes, the entire book of Job was written to explain this principle, that things are temporary in this world and that God has a bigger plan behind something. But wouldn't it be nice if we valued it? Wouldn't it be nice if we, well, you know, Pastor Money, I just get all these texts during church and I've got to respond to all these texts. Okay, number one, these people should be here. Number two, well, yeah, Pastor Money, it's people texting me who are here. Okay, tell them to stop. And listen to them. I know what you're up to out there. Tell him to stop. Listen to the message. Why? Because we won't always have this time. Now, Caleb, you can go. But I want to say something. I really appreciate you. I really appreciate you. Give him a round of applause. He's a good young man. Okay. I won't always have this time. And so one of the things I want to do is use occasionally negative visualization. Look at point number two. Be present where your feet are. So good. Be present where your feet are. Use things, enjoy things, hold things loosely, eventually let them go. It's all temporary. We spend too much time, point B, on things. Not enough time on personal tranquility. Hedonic adaptation. You say, Pastor Monty, what is that? Quick crash course in that. It's when you want something, you desire it. The brand new iPhone, you desire it. You stand in line and you get it. You have that sense of fulfillment. Then less than a year later, maybe less than a month later, dissatisfaction is born in your heart. Then what happens? You have heightened desire to what? To get the next cell phone. That's how Apple made their billions. By the way, it's not that, well, Pastor Monty, they keep coming up with this brand new technology. And may I just say something? Probably the iPhone 15 or 16 is in design phase right now. Apple is holding back on technology so they can keep selling you over and over and over again. And they are playing on something called hedonic adaptation, okay? I was in, Jesus said, these are temporary things. Why do we obsess about them? I was in the airport one time coming home from something, the Indianapolis airport, and there's this, as you come off of the gate area and come down toward the luggage area, there's this big billboard. And you know what it said? It said, it was a big billboard picture of someone's fancy, fine living room. And it said, your TV could sound better. And I looked at that. And I thought to myself, self, I've never thought about my TV or its sound. And then I thought, you know, I bet it could sound better. For years. I have been suffering unknowingly with substandard TV sound. And the very idea that my TV could sound better made me feel like I was missing out on something. And there's no one in this room who suffers from FOMO, fear of missing out, more than this preacher does. And all of a sudden, my mind is racing to think, what could I do to make my TV sound? By the way, it was a Bose. Bose, you know how much money that's going to cost, right? What could I do to make it sound better? The truth of the matter is, for a few moments, I thought about something that I'd never thought of in my life. Hey, listen to me. The advertiser wanted me to do that, but guess what? Totally unnecessary. In the middle of thinking about this, while I was waiting for my luggage to come down the luggage chute, and I'm still pondering, my TV could sound better. In that moment, I realized, wait a minute, who cares? It's temporary. Jesus talked about this. Be careful of these temporary things. The world conspires to get you to care about the latest cause or fad. Retailers work overtime at this. Even friends adopt causes, usually represented by hashtags on social media, and they seek to rope you in. Don't. It doesn't matter. Well, Pastor Monty, you know, the latest hashtag so-and-so. Who cares? By the way, have you ever noticed how quickly those things come and go? The hashtag of the moment, which is the most important thing that we could all possibly get behind, lasts about 10 seconds. Crazy for me to get wound up about things like this. Do not allow people to make their concerns your responsibility. It's all temporary. I need not care. Years ago, when we lived at our old house, the power company was putting up new power poles. We had the regular wood ones before, and they put up these big metal ones that could really carry the voltage. I mean, they could deliver the zap, man. Huge, big, big, big metal poles. And they put them up. A lady across the street and down a few houses, I'd never spoke to her in my life. She called me on the phone. She said, are you Pastor Monty? I said, yes, I am. She said, you're just the man I need to talk to. She said, these new power poles. She said, have you noticed your ears ringing? I said, ma'am, my ears are always ringing. She said, but now it's worse. She said, my ears are ringing, my skin is tingling, my back aches, and my nose is running. And she said, it's all because of those new power poles that are out here. I know that they're destroying us, and you're just the man. She said, because I know, Pastor Monty, that you are a man of action and that you can get things done. And if you'll approach the power company, they'll take those poles down. Wow. She had a really high view of the powers of the pastor. I was polite, but I said, ma'am, I said, I really can't invest my time in that. Now listen, it was her concern. It cannot become my burden. Does everybody follow what I'm saying here? Really important. Very, very important. The whole world conspires against us in regard to this. Let me say this in regard to temporary things. Reject a nothing but the best attitude. I beg you to do this in life. Well, Pastor Monty, I'm a bit of a critic. I'm kind of a connoisseur. What a miserable person you are. You're a connoisseur. I'm a, someone will say something like this. They'll say, I'm a coffee snob. What? Well, I have to have Starbucks. Okay, those are the cheapest coffee beans that are on sale in the coffee market. They are roasted with a burned twinge to make it taste that way. It is garbage. Starbucks is garbage coffee, okay? Anyone who understands European coffee knows that. It's just garbage. Plus, it's horribly liberal. Yes. It just makes my skin crawl, okay? So someone says, well, I just have to have the finest of everything. You're going to go through life being so disappointed because you're not going to have the finest of everything. You're not going to have the happiest. What if you did this? What if you kept your expectations low? What would that mean? Life would be full of pleasant surprises. Do you know I have never had a bad cup of coffee? I never have. I've had some that are better than others, but if I just get a hot cup of coffee and appreciate that cup of coffee that I have, that makes the difference. It is temporary anyway. Why do we become so affixed on things that are temporary? We need not to be doing those kind of things. Reject the nothing but the best attitude. It's not even necessary, honestly, to have an opinion on everything. Pastor Monty, what did you think of the quality of that steak? Well, the truth is, I ate it so fast I didn't taste it. My wife has accused me of wolfing food down at the table, of not even tasting it, and there's a lot of truth to that. But anyway, it's not even necessary to have an opinion. Jesus said, don't think hard about temporary things. Now, this is really hardcore, what I'm about to read. Jesus said it's not even necessary for us to obsess over necessary things. Look at verse 31. I read it a moment ago. Take no thought what we shall eat. Pastor Monty, food is necessary, but Jesus said don't obsess over it. Nor what we shall drink. Drink is necessary, but don't obsess over it. Wherewithal shall we be clothed? Clothing is necessary, but don't obsess over it. What is he saying? This is really hardcore thought discipline. Even necessary things in life do not deserve our obsessive rumination. Because modern American life is awash in choices. We frequently create anxiety by seeking the optimal choice. Okay? Folks, listen. It shouldn't work that way. Jesus said these words, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But everything in our society is geared to put us on edge about having the very best of everything. And once we get put on edge to have the very best of everything, then we start spending more money. It's all done in a consumerism sort of manner. But honestly, life is more than food, Jesus said, and the body is more than raiment or more than clothing. I'm to eat to live, not live to eat. Quit caring so much about where you eat and what you eat. Become somewhat indifferent to it. Now stick to your diet, whatever that may be, but you can become somewhat indifferent to things, places, and where. What. There was a time in my life when I would examine a menu in a restaurant as if I were exegeting a passage of Scripture. Now, let me be honest. I would look at a menu, and I could tell precisely what was the best deal, the best money, the most you're going to get for the money. I could do that. And my goal was always the most for the money at this particular time. And I would examine, I could take out a calculator and figure out how to make it cheaper, but how to get more. That was kind of my MO in a restaurant. Can I make a statement here? I put way too much time into that. Jesus said, learn to be indifferent about it. Eat whatever happens to be there, if it's within your diet regulations, whatever you have there. You wear your clothes, they don't wear you. Don't be a slave to fashion, the opinions of the metrosexual fashion weirdos. Okay, I'm not a slave. You know, how many people this morning, how many people, and God love all of you, but how many people have come up to me to inform me that this orange hanky does not go with this green tie? Okay, a half dozen people. May I make a statement in paraphrasing the words of Jesus? I don't care. Because it doesn't matter. By the way, why did you say, Pastor Monty, why did you go with orange? Because I thought a splash of orange would do us good today. I was thinking about you. I was hoping that it would somehow hold your attention a little better, or maybe that bright orange hanky would just, maybe someone would just smile and say, bless his heart. I figured something of that line would happen. It doesn't matter. Here's the thing. We need to understand. You should look nice and decent, all that. I'm not undermining that. But to be obsessed with it does not matter. It makes no difference. Okay, Jesus said this. Reject nothing but the best attitude. Okay, don't be a critic. Don't be a connoisseur. Keep expectations low. I've already covered that in the above one. Look at this. Now, Jesus also said in the last one, future things. Look at verse number 34. Now, what am I giving you? I'm giving you a list of things to not care about. Just don't care. Just don't care. Now, when a concern comes to your mind or a worry comes to your mind, you now have a list of things you shouldn't be caring about. Okay? Should I care about the soul of a lost person? Absolutely. Absolutely. Should I get all wound up about what my dinner is going to be? No, I shouldn't. Okay? Does everyone see the difference? Jesus said in verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We quoted that in our last session. The future things. I cannot determine the future. I have no control over it. I'm not going to think of those things. I can do my best now. That should say now, not now. Don't waste today on the potential troubles of tomorrow. Today has plenty of negatives to focus upon. Be present where your feet are. What are we saying? The key to the future is this, to prioritize God. Look at verse number 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What did Jesus say? If you put my priorities first, you're not going to have to worry about all these things. Quit thinking about tomorrow. Today has enough to worry us, to concern. By the way, quit thinking about the past. Don't think about the past. Oh, Pastor Monty, you don't even know the bad and horrible. Just stop with it. Quit thinking about it and recognize there is a God who is in control. There is a God of grace who forgives our past. There is a God of power who controls our present and our future. And the key to it all is to simply think the way Christ said to think. Now, I want every eye up here. I have gone through with you Matthew chapter 6 and demonstrated that there are four things that we do not need to become obsessive about. The things we cannot control, temporary things, even some necessary things, and then future things. What is it, and here's the question for you right now, what is it that most dominates your thinking? Is it something about, well, you know, Pastor Monty, we've just got to have this new carpeting? Become obsessed over that. Or is it something like this? Pastor Monty, I'm just not sure what my future holds. Dr. Fauci said I need to wear 3 masks. I'm just not sure. Is that what it's going to be? Okay. Am I worried? Am I worried about something necessary? I wish he'd stop this sermon so we could get to the restaurant. There's people thinking that right now. And we're winding down, folks. We're going to land this plane in just a second. The truth of the matter is this. I can have so much more peace when I simply learn not to care. Now, there are some things I should care about, and I do. My calling, my responsibilities, those are all things in that chart we put up. My calling, my responsibility, I'm going to care about those things. But you know what? There's an awful lot I'm just not going to spend that much time caring about, because I want to know peace and tranquility in my life. I want to live in this present hour. I want to be present with the people I love and they with me. And I want to be what I need to be for you in this present moment without some big reference to what might happen in the future, without some big reference to what has happened in the past, and just live right now in this present moment. To God be the glory, and doing exactly what Jesus said. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then what? All these things shall be added unto you. Father, I pray you'll take the word this morning. Help us, Lord, to understand that Matthew chapter 6 is the greatest teaching of Jesus on the topic of our thought lives. And Lord, how easily we become distracted with things that just don't matter. And Lord, the whole world is geared to get us to think about things that don't matter because other people make money off of that. Father, I pray you'll help us to see it. Help us, Lord, to recognize in our own selves where we have been disobedient to these principles. And then, Lord, help us to change for the sake of our own peace. God, I pray you'll work in our hearts. Bless this, thy people. Lord, if there's someone here that does not know Christ, today I pray they will come to trust him. In Jesus' name. Let's stand together, please. Everyone standing together.